Open here now to Ephesians 5. We're going to read a little bit and then we'll pray and we'll remember these two prayer requests as well. So Ephesians 5, we're going to begin in verse 23, I guess. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and for the opportunity this morning to look into it. And I trust and pray as we open the scriptures that you will speak to our hearts and help us to understand. We do think of these two extra special requests. We pray for Jeff as he prepares for this big open heart surgery. Lord, this is something that he's needed for a long time. And I pray, Father, that now they think he's well enough and strong enough to have the surgery. And so, Father, I trust that you will minister there and bring him through this. And bless Debbie as she cares for him. And Lord, I know she's seeking some kind of time off for caregivers for a month. Lord, I pray that you'd work out all the details of that as well. And also for Brendan, we pray, Lord, that as he goes through his big surgery, Lord, that you would minister to him and guide and direct the doctors as they do this surgery. We thank you that he's been through chemo treatments and things now. But Lord, the next step is this surgery. And so, Father, we're trusting you and believing you for great and mighty things on his behalf. Again, Lord, open the scriptures now to our hearts and minds. Help us to understand the lesson you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we examine the scriptures, we find that the Christian home should, in a sense, be like a symphony. It should be harmonious. And the only way that's possible is by doing it God's way. Each playing our own part as outlined in the scriptures. Now, the last time we spoke on the subject of marriage and family was several weeks ago. Because 1 week I was away, and then there was Easter, and then there was this last Sunday that we completely want to forget about and hope it doesn't happen again until next year, right? And all that crazy snow. But so it's been a while. But the last time we were together and talked on this subject, we talked about the responsibilities of the wife. The responsibilities of the wife. And so today, in our last message on this series, it's the guy's turn is what it is. It's the guy's turn. Now, in the lifetime of some people in this room, the divorce rate in America was as low as 1 in 7. By the 1960s, it was 1 in 4. And it was not long after that that it was 1 in 2. And then you have America today where the divorces outnumber marriages every year. And what happens in many marriages today is what starts out as the ideal soon turns into an ordeal, and one person or both people start looking for a new deal. That's what happens in a lot of marriages in our day. And it's too bad, because marriage is supposed to be a taste of heaven on earth, the closest thing to paradise that this world can know, because it's a picture of our relationship with Christ. Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher from the 1800s, said this: when a Christian home is done right, angels would feel at home in it. When a Christian home is done right, angels would feel at home in it. And the devil knows that if he can hurt the home, he can hurt us everywhere, from home to church to nation to world. And according to God, it all begins with Dad. With Dad. And so it's no wonder that the devil levels his artillery until the man of the house is dead in his sights. But thankfully, the Bible not only tells us what to do and how to do it and where to get the power to do it, but it also draws us a picture so that we can't miss the main message. I don't know, maybe God knew men would be slower than women, or that they would be infinitely hard-headed, so he had to draw us a picture here in Ephesians chapter 5. But in this picture, we have Jesus and his bride, the church. And whatever Christ is to the church is what we men are to be to our wives. What Jesus gave for the church, I'm supposed to give to my wife. And so based on this passage of Scripture, what is it that we owe to our wives? Three things this morning. First of all, godly leadership. Godly leadership. Jesus is the leader of the church, and men ought to lead their wives. And I mean that in the right way. Remember, leadership is not dictatorship, okay? It's not coercion. Jesus doesn't make the church obey him. As we often sing to the Lord, "I will serve thee because I love thee." Leadership is not dictatorship. And leadership is not domination. You know, some guys try to use their Bibles to beat their wives into submission. And that's not the way it works. You cannot subdue anyone into submission, because by definition, submission is voluntary. The submission of a wife is to be in response to loving leadership on the part of the husband. You know, I get a kick out of these guys who make it a point to say that headship of the home is their biblical right. But actually, it's not a right. It's something to earn, like respect. It's like traffic rights. You know, we all have our rights on the road. But if you force the issue, it might mean death. Like the words on the tombstone, it said, "Here lies the body of Jerry Ray, who refused to give up his right of way. He was right, dead right, as he traveled along, but he's just as dead as if he was wrong." And if you demand submission, you won't have it. You won't have it. We have Christian men today trying to be the boss of their home instead of the loving leader of their home. But that word "head" in verse 37 doesn't mean boss. I'm reminded of something I read about a man named Gordon Selvridge. Gordon Selvridge built huge department stores in England. And he did that by being a leader and not a boss. And he said this, I found this interesting. He said, "A boss drives men, a leader coaches them. The boss depends upon authority. The leader depends upon goodwill. The boss inspires fear. The leader inspires enthusiasm. The boss says, I. The leader says, we. The boss fixes blame for breakdowns. The leader fixes breakdowns. The boss knows how it's done. The leader shows how it's done. The boss says, go. The leader says, let's go. It's the difference between cornering someone and getting them in your corner. And in a harmonious home, Dan is to be the leader of the band. And he's responsible for all. And if someone is out of step, it is likely his fault. And most often, now this is not always the case, this is not a hard and fast rule, but most often, problems are caused by the man not providing the right leadership in the home. And we see that in the fall of Adam and Eve, right? When, while Eve may have sinned, God came looking for Adam. In that garden, he didn't say, where art thou, Eve? He said, where art thou, Adam? The main problem in our homes today isn't insubmissive wives. It's husbands with warped views on leadership or no leadership at all. Remember how Jesus settled the disciples' dispute over who is most important. He did it by putting on an apron, bending over, and washing their stinking feet. See, headship isn't a chain of command. It's a chain of responsibility and service. Leadership isn't having others cater to your needs, but rather it's meeting the needs of other people. And some of us need to go home and wash our wives' feet, figuratively speaking. And we do so by apologizing, by learning, by improving, and by leading in love. Let me tell you this. It should not be the wife leading the family to church on Sunday. Although we can be thankful for those who do out of necessity, but it should be the man, the leader of the home. God help the man whose wife has to pray over the meal or it won't get done. God help the man whose wife has to bring up discussions on spiritual topics in the home or it'll never take place. Men, you are to be the spiritual leader of your home. The responsibility falls on you. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, it says, if any man provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Which means that not only are you supposed to provide for your family materially, but because it talks about a denying of the faith, it also means that you are responsible for leading your family spiritually as well. You are to be the spiritual leader of your home. And so we owe our wives godly leadership. Godly leadership. And then secondly, let me say this, we owe our wives love. Love, not just leadership, but love. Look at the number of times that comes up in this passage. We'll start with verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 28. So men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So if we are to love our wives the same way Christ loved the church, what kind of love is that? First of all, it's sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. In verse 25, it talks about how Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus died for the church. And we should be willing
to die for our wives. Now, how do you know if you're willing to die for her? Well, the question is, are you living for her, and are you dying to yourself now? Let's be honest, men. A lot of us are pretty selfish and can sometimes, if not careful, act like a tick on a dog when it comes to our marriage. And act like when it comes to our marriage that we're only in it for what we can get out of it. But remember again, verse 25 means that there should be nothing so precious to us that we wouldn't give it up for our wife. You say, well, I work hard all week and it's my right to do what I want with my time off. When I hear that, I think, grow up. Grow up. That sounds like a spoiled, rotten little schoolboy is what that sounds like. Grow up. We owe our wives a sacrificial love, their needs before our needs, just like Jesus showed on the cross, putting our needs above his needs. Sacrificial love. And then it should be a sanctifying love. Look at 26 and 27 again. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. A sanctifying love. This is an elevating love. My wife is a wonderful Christian, best I've ever known. And I have the assignment from God as her husband to help her be even better. Now, that's a tall order. She is supposed to be a better Christian because she's married to me. And this is a big responsibility. And it also means that I must never lead her into anything impure or unholy. Remember, love lifts you up and never drags you down. And let me say this to the teenagers in church this morning and to the single folks in church this morning. If you get into a relationship that drags you down, a relationship that leads you away from being close to God, that isn't love. And that is not of God. And you need to drop that person like a hot potato is what you need to do. Now that is absolutely free advice, no extra charge for that this morning. But remember this, love lifts you up, never drags you down. True love is a sanctifying love. And then third, it is a secure love. Look at verses 28 to 30 again. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we need to provide our wives with a secure love. We need to provide them with protection and security. This is a physical protection for what the Bible refers to as the weaker vessel. But this is also emotional protection. We're to, in a sense, we're to be her helpmeet in weak areas. And yet, some guys seem to get a kick out of aggravating and taking advantage of their wives' emotional state. But I remind you, according to the Bible, when your wife hurts, you're supposed to hurt because you're one flesh. Because that's also the kind of love that Jesus has for us. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says that he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He hurts when we hurt. And remember, we're to be following his example. We are to cherish our wives. We are to nourish our wives. We as husbands are to see to it that her needs are met. And I'll tell you what, when you provide her financial security as well as physical and emotional security, in some strange way, you will also be better for it because you are one flesh. And so we owe our wives leadership. We owe them love. And then one more thing this morning and we'll finish up. And that is loyalty. Loyalty. In verse 31 we read, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." The word "leave" there speaks of the priority of marriage. The word "joined" speaks of the permanence of marriage. And the phrase "one flesh" speaks of the purpose of marriage. And it can all be summed up really by one word, and that is loyalty. Loyalty. You see, contrary to popular opinion, the highest relationship on earth is not mother and child, but husband and wife. But you look at most any divorce and you see the opposite occurring. The children are offered unconditional love and loyalty, as they should be, but that is not extended to the husband and wife. And that's where the problem lies in a lot of marriages, is that unconditional love and loyalty is not extended to each other. And we see that as causing a lot of divorces in our day and age. Now, let me say this. We're not this morning trying to cry over spilled milk or unscrambled eggs. You know, in this series of messages that I have done, I have not at all tried to bring guilt upon people who have been divorced. That's not been my purpose in these messages. I hope you understand that. But we're simply talking about biblical truth to protect us in the future. That's what we're dealing with. Biblical truth to protect us in the future. Now, I have to, just a couple of things and I'm finished. I have to tell you this. I am sick to death of dealing with people who have left their spouse behind, not because of unfaithfulness, not because of abuse, but "I owe it to myself to be happy." Now, I hope you have a happy marriage. I certainly know that Pam Speroni is blessed that way. Just kidding. But I do hope you have a happy marriage. But let me tell you, your first and foremost priority is God. And to Him, you owe it to be holy. You owe it to be holy and to keep your vows. All couples have problems, but all couples need to commit to working through them, if at all possible. And here's the other thing I'm tired of hearing. "But we no longer are in love." Well, you know what that is? What happens is they bring their marriage relationship to an end because of a lack of special feelings. You know what that is? That's your heart deceiving you. It's your heart deceiving you. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says the heart is deceitful. Desperately wicked. It's deceived you. It's deceived you. Remember what I said a few weeks ago. It's not love which sustains commitment, but commitment which sustains love. Love is a decision. Love is a commitment. Love is action. Love is obedience to the word of God when it commands you, husbands, love your wives. And so leadership, love, and loyalty are what we owe to our wives. This is the example set by Jesus in relationship to His bride, the church. And this is the example we as husbands are to follow in relationship to our wives. Now, I want to close by drawing everybody's attention, the husbands, the wives, the kids, everybody in the room. I want to close by drawing everybody's attention to that phrase in verse 25 where it says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What does that mean? What is it talking about when it says Christ gave himself for the church? That means he shed his blood for it. He died on the cross for it. He rose again for it. He interceded before the throne of God for it. He is coming again for it. And he has made a way for it to live eternally. And if you want to be part of that church, that bride of Christ, and have the forgiveness that is offered to you and the eternal life that is offered to you, then you must repent or turn from your sins and call out to Christ by faith and receive him as your Savior and Lord. And there is no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Placing your faith and your trust in Christ as the Savior of your soul is the only way to become part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the opportunity to look into it. And as husbands and dads, I pray that you'd help us to pay heed to the scriptural example that is given to us. Lord, help us to take these principles and put them into practice in our relationships in our home. Lord, so that our home can be what you would want it to be. Lord, we often talk about the Christian home and having a Christian home, but Lord, it does not take place unless we put the principles of your word into practice in the home. And so help us to do that so that our homes can be bright, shining examples for you. And then, Lord, I also pray, of course, that if there's somebody here today who they are looking at their lives, their heart, and they realize that they're not part of that true church, they have never opened up their heart and received Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they would see this to be their greatest need and that they would call out to Christ and let him know that, yes, they understand they're sinners and they realize there's a penalty for sin. Lord, help them to come to grips, though, with the fact that Jesus died for that sin and rose again so they could be forgiven and have eternal life. Lord, don't let anyone leave here today without having called out to Jesus and trusted him as Savior and Lord. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we'll skip the hymn, Betty, and if